In last week's talk, I spoke about actions. That it's our actions that determine our happiness. We tend to think of happiness as a feeling, something that we experience on a felt level, which it is, but it comes about through the actions that we take. So what we're asked to do first in our practice, if you will, is to look at a certain sets of actions that we really need to attend to if we're going to be able to move on. So what we're asked to do is to really look and see if we're practicing any actions that bring about harm to ourselves and to others, and to see to it that we can begin to develop. It's a training in abandoning harmful actions. Harmful actions on the most basic level are delineated in the rules for ethical conduct. So the five precepts to abandon killing, stealing, engaging in illicit sex, and taking intoxicants that cause heedlessness, and to refrain from engaging in harmful speech, false speech, divisive speech, abusive speech, and idle speech. And those are kind of a baseline for action that we seek to abandon. And then there's other unskillful actions that we take that we also seek to abandon. If it's different forms of speech, etc. Different things that we do that might not come under the heading of a breach of precepts, but are still unskillful. Ways that we don't treat ourselves and others with love. And then there's certain things that the teachings of the Buddha suggest that we do in terms of action that are basic to begin to develop capacity, the skill of acting in a skillful way. And of course, skillful action is action that comes out of love, comes out of compassion. So the first thing, of course, that the Buddha taught was practice generosity. That's a very profound action, but it's something that, of course, he understood that, we can all learn to practice. Children can practice generosity. It's something that, although maybe very counterintuitive and countercultural, it's something that we can all do. And it's a very simple way that we can go about cultivating skillful action. So sometimes if people are suffering and are having difficulty, one thing that we suggest in order to begin to, in addition to looking at whatever you're doing that might be unskillful, one of the things that we suggest in terms of being able to begin to engender happiness is practice generosity. Practice generosity. Invariably, when we practice generosity, we feel better. We feel better. We begin to experience the happiness of giving. So we cultivate skillful action in terms of generosity, practice non-harming, skillful speech. We tend, I think, when we think about action, a schema that we might want to follow in terms of action that the teachings suggest, I think we tend to think about doing stuff that's good and doing stuff that's bad. I've got to do things that are good. I've got to be generous, and I've got to help other people, and I've got to speak with kindness and compassion, and I have to refrain from speaking angrily and divisively and doing things that are harmful to others. But that really, those forms of action are really just the beginning of action. They're just the beginning of action. And ultimately, we need to do more in terms of action, and we want to do more. So I kind of go to what, you know, Nietzsche said. He said, you know, happiness is found beyond good and evil. It doesn't mean that we don't seek to refrain from evil and cultivate what's good, but happiness comes from actions ultimately that transcend just refraining from what's harmful and taking action that is helpful, is a form of ethical conduct. So in other words, our action, we tend to think about ethics, ethical action, but action is really something that transcends it goes beyond just the cultivation and practice of ethics. Ethics, you know, being ethical is something that we have to do, but we do it so that we can eventually act in a way that's transcendent, that's noble, you know, act in a way that really leads us to happiness. Just by being ethical and following ethical guidelines won't lead us to a greater happiness in this life. That's just sort of a baseline, really. Eventually, we have to learn to take action that's in support of our wish to be happy. So action, and it begins, of course, you know, really the heart of finding happiness is to take action that's in support of your wish to be happy. And then you can really help others in their efforts to find happiness. If the heart will lead you in that direction, but first you have to learn to take care of yourself and learn to express yourself and live your life in a way in which you are practicing self-love. We have to learn to take action that's an expression of self-love, in which we express our truth. Just like the Buddha did, he expressed his truth for 45 years, teaching the Dharma. That was a big action that he took. Profound action that he took. We use that as an example. He didn't sit around, he took action. His life is, more than anything else, is an example of somebody that took action. And I think we tend also to think, you know, well, if we use the Buddha as an example, or we think about the kinds of action that is talked about in the Dharma world, it's about doing something that's related to the Dharma, passing on the Dharma, teaching the Dharma, all of those kinds of things. But for most people, that's not their karma, you know? That's not their karma. That was the Buddha's karma. You have to find and understand what your own good karma is and follow through on that. Follow through on that. A lot of times people choose arbitrarily, you know, well, this is what I want to do. I want to teach the Dharma or be a therapist or whatever. But those tend, or oftentimes, are decisions about what to do that people make, not based on what's in the heart, you know? Maybe based on other ideas that they've had or things that people have told them. One of my teachers, somebody that I took a lot of retreats with in the past, a friend of mine, Rodney Smith, he had a quote that he always would talk about, you know, and it was about vocation, and it was along the lines, I didn't bring it with me, I'm just thinking about it now, but what the world needs is people to do, you know, and take action that, you know, really makes their hearts sing. Do action, you know, that really is a fulfillment of you, what you are. We think, well, I've got to go help everybody else. Take action. Live in a way in which your heart shines, in which your truth shines. Action that's joyful for you. That's what brings the world happiness, if you really want to help the world. Express our truth. Be who we are. Be who we are. Become who we are in this world. So last week I talked about this idea of single-minded determination, that, you know, in this practice, our actions more and more become single-minded, or, you know, we have different minds, the mind that says, do this, do that, do this. You know, more and more our actions are single-minded. Our actions are coming out of the mind that is focused on the goal of a life of self-love and action that's in support of fulfilling our wish to be happy. So that all, you know, when we have complete single-minded determination, what we are doing, you know, is all in the support of our hearts, all in the support of fulfilling our wish to be happy. Happiness of heart. Happiness of heart. As I talked about last week, we tend to veer off, right? We might want to start the day by taking action and doing things that are in support of our heart, but we just go in all different types of directions throughout the course of the day. But when we have this quality of single-minded determination, you know, and this is what we're striving for, that, you know, more and more our actions are in support of a life that is an expression of self-love and a fulfillment of our wish to be happy, a life of meaning. A life that's meaningful for us, a joyful life, a joyful life. We set that as a goal, and then we strive. The way to that is to take action in support of that goal. So, you know, it's a process of, like, you know, in my life I took hardly any actions in support of that goal, then I started taking a few, and then a few more, and then a few more, and then more and more our lives are, because our lives are our actions. You know, our lives more and more become actions that are in support of this goal of true happiness. So we have these goals that are important to set, very important to set, but we often struggle to take action in support of those goals. And obviously, that's one of the reasons why people are very loath to set goals and have goals, because then you've got to do something to fulfill those goals. You've got to take action in support of those goals. What did Delmo Schwartz say? In dreams begin responsibilities. You know, once you have your dreams and your goals, you know, then you're responsible to yourself and to your heart to take action in fulfillment of your wish to be happy. So, you know, we have these goals. Well, we're asked to have these goals, you know, the goal of true happiness in this life. That's the path. That was the Buddha's goal. That was the Buddha's goal. I want to be happy. I want true happiness. He was a prince. He had all that stuff. He said, I don't have true happiness. I want to see if I can live a life in which I really have true happiness. So he set out with, you know, I mean, he took a lot of risks, right? You know, he could have had a good, you know, he had it pretty good. Put his whole life on the line. Put his whole life on the line. I mean, we have his example and the example of other people for thousands of years who did what he did and found true happiness. So we don't have to kind of put ourselves on the line to the same extent that the Buddha did, but we still have to put ourselves on the line in order to be able to find our own happiness. So we have these goals. We set out to express our truth and become who we are. We start off with goals. We start off with good intentions, wholehearted intentions. I'm going to take action that's in support of self-love. The path begins with, you know, right understanding. Happiness comes through taking action that's informed by compassion and by love. Right intention. All right, I'm going to take action. I'm going to act. I'm going to live my life, you know, on that broad scale, from day to day, from moment to moment. I'm going to live my life taking action that's informed by love and compassion, self-love, and support of my wish to be happy. But oftentimes our actions don't, you know, reflect self-love, right? oftentimes our actions don't reflect self-love. I mean, on the broad base, you know, if we look at our actions and our relationships and the things that we're doing in our lives, they may not support self, be really in, you know, in the direction of self-love. And the things that we do, again, from day to day, from moment to moment, a lot of times we take actions that aren't, you know, keeping us on the path or moving us towards a true happiness. We veer off of that path to happiness. I mean, there's many ways, and we all do it in different ways. I mean, just as an example, I think of, you know, you think about somebody who's an artist, you know, a musician or a writer or whatever, you know, and, you know, that's their truth, and, you know, but they don't do that work. I mean, that's kind of one that you see all the time, right? But, you know, not everybody's an artist or a writer or a musician. We all have our own path to follow. The question is, are we following it? Lots of the time, what we'll see is that, you know, we have these goals, you know, we become committed to them, but we veer away and our actions aren't in support of those goals. Instead, we take actions that are really informed by aversion and desire. Take a lot of actions that are informed by desire. And as I talked about last week, we take a lot of actions that are informed by fear. You know, or we don't take a lot of actions because of fear. So really the question is, what do we do when that happens? What do we do when that happens? Because that is going to happen. That is going to happen. You know, the Buddha doesn't say, and the teachings don't suggest that we have these goals and then we just take actions and that all of our actions are going to be in support of those goals. I mean, we all know that's not true, but for some reason we think it should be true. Really what the practice offers us is a way to relate more skillfully and respond skillfully to when we veer off the path, when we make mistakes, when we fail. What the practice really does is give us a way and teach us how to respond to our mistakes and our failure and our inconsistency. And through that response to those failures and mistakes and inconsistencies, which are inevitable, through a skillful response to them, we move through the doorway to true happiness. That's the way through. It's not that we just get up in the morning for all of our lives and we do everything that's going to be in support of the heart. No, we set those goals and we make mistakes and then we relate to those goals skillfully. That is the path. I mean, the Buddha said, I'm going to go find true happiness, and then spent 6 years following meditation practices that led him to suffering. He didn't say, I give up. What can I learn from this? What can I learn from this? How do I relate to this? What do I need to do to relate to this in a skillful way? So, you know, we make these mistakes and, you know, we don't follow through on the deep wish that we have for ourselves to be happy. And what do? We usually judge ourselves, right? A lot of the times, I mean, it's very important to know what you do, you know, when you make mistakes. I mean, a lot of the time, will engage in self-judgment, self-aversion, frustration, anxiety, despair, we lose confidence, and then a lot of the time we give up, we quit. So it's very important for us to learn to see what our tendencies are when we make mistakes and when we veer off. And when I say veer off the path, you know, I'm not just talking about the path of the Dharma. I mean, it is the Dharma, but I'm not just talking about the path of meditation and going on retreats and following ethical conduct. I'm talking really about the path that leads you to true happiness in your life, right? That's what we're talking about. So what we need to learn to do is to see very clearly how we relate to when we veer off the path, when we take actions that aren't an expression of self-love. What do we do? And to really see what we do that's not skillful when we take actions that aren't a reflection of self-love. I mean, it really is kind of, you know, it's really a kind of a very profound thing, because, or a very important thing to see, that, you know, when we take actions that aren't an expression of self-love and we relate to that with self-aversion, then we're just taking ourselves even further away from the path, and that's what we tend to do. And this is a central tenet of the Buddha's teachings. You know, hatred doesn't end through hatred. Self-hatred isn't going to end through self-hatred, more self-hatred. You know, action that's in support of aversion and desire isn't going to end through more action that's in support of aversion, judgment, etc. It's going to end through the heart. It's going to end through love. It's going to end really when we make mistakes and fail and don't do what we set out to do. It's going to really, the beginning of the end of that is compassion. That's the skillful response to veering off the path. So we have to learn to replace the ways that we relate to the unskillful ways that we relate to our mistakes and our digressions. We need to learn to see how we relate unskillfully to our digressions and transgressions and replace those unskillful patterns of judgment and self-loathing, you know, and fear and despair with compassion. With compassion. Those actions that are informed by fear and aversion and desire won't end through more actions that are informed. And that's kind of how we were brought up, right? You do something bad, you get hit, you know? I mean, that was kind of the message, you know? It's not the Buddha's message. Of course, they say, I'm hitting you out of love, but you know, it's not really that, is it? You know, when we take action that isn't in support of the heart, that isn't in support of love, what's action that isn't in support of the heart? It's, again, action that's informed by aversion, desire, fear, anxiety, etc. We learn to bring about change through compassion, through love. So, you know, we have compassion for ourselves for digressing and transgressing, for veering off of the path, for making mistakes, for our failures. We have compassion. We have compassion for the way that we've condemned ourselves and have judged ourselves and have gone into despair. It really has to start with that, right? We have to have compassion for our judging. A lot of times people are like, oh, I'm judging, I'm so bad. I'm such a terrible person. I'm judging myself, right? Judging the judging. So a lot of times it begins with, you know, what's the issue at hand? The issue at hand is the judging and the self-denigration. So a lot of times, you know, our compassion really has to address the ways that we heap on more self-aversion. So, you know, we begin to learn this in meditation, right? And this is something we teach in the beginner's class. I just finished a beginner's class. I think I teach it in the second week. We set out with that good intention to be mindful of the breath. We're doing this out of love for ourselves because ultimately it will lead us to a greater happiness. You know, we set off with that good intention and then we veer off. We could veer off into thinking. Just think about how many times we veered off into thinking during or falling asleep during this sitting. And you know what we learn to do in the meditation right from the beginning is to see how when we veer off, when we stray from the breath and wander from the breath, we judge ourselves. We condemn ourselves. I mean, that in and of itself is a huge insight to see that we do that. I mean, it was interesting. I was teaching this class and I was, you know, I said, well, what do you do when you wander away from the breath? Do you see what you do? And some people, I don't do anything. You know, it's like people don't even realize. You know, and then I said, well, what about judgment? I guess I do judge my, I get really frustrated with myself. A lot of the times I just get, you know, it's like, you know, we really need to see that, So we learn to see that in the meditation, and then we learn to replace that with compassion. So we teach, okay, I see that I'm judging. Let me come back to the breath with compassion. Let me have compassion for myself. Let me have compassion for myself for judging myself. Let me have compassion for myself for wandering away from the present moment. Let me have compassion for myself from wandering away from the present moment all of my life, for harming myself with actions that have come out of aversion and desire. Let me have compassion for myself for that, those lifetimes of tears, you know, transmigrating and wandering on. as the Buddha talked about. Let me have compassion for myself, for those oceans of tears. So, you know, we learn to do this in the meditation, right? And really, just like with everything else, I know for myself, this is where I learned it, in the meditation, to have compassion for myself. And when I wander away from the breath, you know, that's just a microcosm of everything else in life, right? It's a good thing in meditation because it's like, it's a setup for failure. You're gonna fail. You know, if you expect to feel every breath, forget it, that's not gonna happen. If you expect all your actions are going to be pure and coming from the heart, that's not going to happen. The question is, what are you going to do? You know, so, you know, we get up in the morning with all good intentions and we find, you know, oh, I'm going to really work on my art today, or I'm going to, you know, fill out that resume, you know, or call those prospective employees in that career field that I want to engage in, or I'm going to work out, or I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do, you know, and then we find 3 hours later, you know, we've been watching TV the whole time. I mean, that's a small example, but maybe not so unusual of an example, right? You know, when we err, when we veer off, when we fail, we have to have compassion for ourselves. We learn in this practice to have compassion for ourselves. I mean, it's so counterintuitive, right, for us, because we've been brought up in our karma, you know, and the karma of our minds is to judge and to go into despair and self-doubt. So we have to see our tendency to do that, and this is, you know, there's a training in having compassion. So, you know, having compassion, we see that we've erred, maybe we see that we're judging ourselves, and we cultivate compassion, right? Two elements to that. The skill, it's a skill, it's not a mystical thing. It's not a mystical thing. The first thing is using fabrication. As simple as, let me have compassion for myself. Using that fabrication to connect into the heart and the felt sense, the second part. As my teacher says, connecting head to heart. The way you connect into the heart is through the thinking. All that we are begins with our thoughts, the Buddha said. So you can be, you can engage in those thoughts. Oh, I'm terrible, I spent the whole day watching TV. Or you can have the thought, let me have some compassion for myself, which will guide you into the heart. All that you are begins with your thoughts. So what we need to learn to do is to train ourselves to think skillfully, to fabricate thoughts of compassion, and then learn to connect into the felt sense. One of the terms that I like to use, it's actually a chapter and the title of one of the sections of my book, is, you know, the key of compassion. So compassion is the key. Compassion is what opens the door. This is how you open the door to the path. This is how you open the door to the path. Because, you know, the path is not, you know, like we tend to think of this path as sort of like this, you know, this chute that leads us to the heavens, or this corridor filled with light. No, the path is rife with all these different doorways, and the doors are all closed. You know? How do you open the door? You open the door with the key of compassion. All those places where the path gets blocked off are the places where we've taken action that hasn't been in support of the heart. How do you open the door? With compassion. With compassion. That's the way we open the door. That's how we move forward. We move forward with an open heart because our practice and our path is a path of love and compassion. So when we've made a mistake, you know, when we make a mistake or we veer off, it's because we've done something out of delusion. You know, perhaps we don't know what we're doing, or we're just wasting time watching TV, or we're doing it out of aversion or desire. The way that we get back on the path, which is a path of love and compassion, is through having compassion for ourselves for having made mistakes. It's a path of compassion, a path of love. And the way that you get on the path is when you make mistakes, which you will, you have compassion for yourself. When we have compassion for ourselves, then we open up our hearts. And our actions going forward can be and will be more and more an expression of self-love. That's how we learn to take action that's an expression of self-love, by making mistakes and having compassion for ourselves. And this is like very, very, very important. This is very, very, very important. Because the way forward is through our mistakes. And we hear that a lot, you know. But, you know, the thing of it is, it's a skill. It's a skill. It's a skill. And we need to learn the skill. You know, we move forward through our mistakes. It's how we move forward. You know, we will make mistakes. What matters is how we relate to our mistakes. It makes me think of what Beckett said, favorite authors. Just, I'll read just a little piece of this. All of old, nothing else ever tried, ever failed. No matter, try again, fail better. All of old, nothing else ever tried, ever failed. No matter, try again, fail better. Fail better. Fail better. So mistakes and failure are a doorway. We have to begin to learn to see them that way. We have to learn to begin to see them that way. Now, you know, and I just said that it's a skill. And a big part of the skill is putting ourselves in position so that we have equanimity when we make mistakes, when we fail, when we transgress and digress. And that's where a lot of us run into problems, because when we make mistakes and veer off, we, you know, and the Buddha talked about this, we become bewildered, we try to run away from the fact that we make mistakes, we're knocked off balance, and we do this to ourselves largely, right? It's very difficult for us to look at our mistakes with space, with equanimity, with calmness, with strength. So in order to be able to have compassion, we need, when we make mistakes, to be able to be centered enough to see that we've made mistakes and we're relating to them unskillfully, or just to see that we've made mistakes and we've veered off, and then to have compassion. But in order to do that, we need to be centered and we need to be able to relate to our mistakes, our failures, our suffering with equanimity. It has to be this quality of even-temperedness. So, and when we have equanimity, then we can be with the truth of our mistakes, the truth of our failure. And when we can be with that, then we can see our unskillful ways maybe of relating to our failures and replace those ways with compassion. But there has to be enough space, you know, and I see this is really one of the big problems that people have is when they make mistakes, they get flustered. When they, you know, you see this in people in meditation, particularly are new, but all of us, it's like, you know, we get flustered when we don't feel the breath every breath. We get flustered and down on ourselves and when we don't do things in our lives that are in support of our heart. So we have to learn to relate to what we're doing that's painful with equanimity. And that's why we meditate. I mean, that's one of the big reasons why we meditate. So we're meditating, you know, it's like so we can get ourselves in position so that we can deal more skillfully with our mistakes. We don't put that in the brochures, but that's sort of what it comes down to. So we're learning to open to ourselves. This is how we need to think about our practice. You know, we're learning to open to the truth of ourselves. We're learning by opening to our mistakes, to our failures, to our digressions, to the times when we don't relate to ourselves and others with love. We learn to relate with compassion, to meet our experience with compassion. This is the way through to happiness.